my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith coming by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. Go with me there.
1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. We're in a series entitled Pray First. Pray First. And I think that you're going to get a lot out of this, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. It says, rejoice. How often, class?
Rejoice always,
and again I say rejoice. Amen? I know that's not there, but I just couldn't help it, all right? Verse 17 says, pray how often?
Continually,
and that's what we're going to talk about today, okay? It says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, that was the NIV, the KJV, just says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in you, in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to make a statement that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Sometimes a challenge arises in people's lives, you got it, and they do this and it doesn't work, and they do that and it doesn't work, and they do that and it doesn't work. They call this person, they tell this person what's going on, and then they say, well, I guess all I can do is pray. When really prayer should not be a last resort, you got it, but it should be our first response. Everybody say my first response. And so, no matter what's going on in my life, I pray first. No matter what the situation is, I pray first. No matter what the challenge is, I pray first. No matter if it's something going good, I pray first. No matter if it's something going bad, I pray first. No matter what it is, I pray
first.
You got it? And so, say those two words. Say, pray first.
Pray first.
Say it again, pray first.
Pray first.
So, before the day begins, before I go to bed,
pray first.
Before I go to work,
pray first.
Before you go to school, before I send that text, before I make that post on social media, before you eat, before you travel, when bad things happen, before bad things happen, in every situation that's the key. In every situation, I pray first. I'm going to invite God into every situation in my life. Before anything happens, before I have that conversation with somebody I'm really upset with, I got to pray first. And you will find that if you will really live by this principle of prayer and pray first, that, watch this, that your outcome is a whole lot better than your way. Because he says, your ways are not my ways, neither are your thoughts mine, because mine are what? Higher than yours. In other words, God's saying, I'm smarter than you and I have a better way than you do. Because when you're upset, your way is not the best way to go. Can I get a... All right. And so our church values prayer. And because our church values prayer, we have seen the results of us valuing prayer. I mean, we came to this city with only 4 people. We've got almost 1,000 members coming to our church. I mean, we are really seeing, we are making a difference. We're making a difference in your life. We're making a difference in your family's lives. We're making a difference in the community. I mean, we just gave away. I was talking to the banker the other day. He said, I thought you gave away 500 turkeys. Ellen told me you gave away 500 turkey dinner boxes with the sides and everything. We are really making a difference. I've been talking to the staff lately. I've been talking to people lately. And one thing, when I text them and respond, I say, hey, we are really making a difference. That's just not something we're saying. We are really making a difference. And you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. And one reason we are really making a difference is because we pray first. We have prayer, and if you're not on the line, you ought to get on the line. I'm pastor, not fussing. I'm just telling you, it's the best way to start your day. Monday through Friday, there's a prayer line at 7 a.m. You know, you got to get on it. And so prayer is, and if you have to go to work at 6, I get it. You can't get on it, but you have to make sure that you pray first. If you can't give God the first 15 minutes of your day, that's an issue. You got it. If you got too much going on to give God the first 15 minutes of your day, you got too much going on. You got him? All right, look at your neighbor and tell him he's talking to you. Now look at your second choice and say, he's talking to you. All right. All right. So go with me to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. I want to explain something to you. So I was about to go to 2 Chronicles. I'm just a little high in my
in my monitors. I love them, but I probably need to back off just a little bit. So 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, of course, teaches us that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, y'all know the scripture, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. So that's where I was going. Right, so I'm in my room. Take it away just for a second. So I'm in my room, and I'm in my office. I'm praying. I'm studying. I think lady was heading somewhere. I just dropped off the kids. I said I'm going upstairs just to pray, study those kind of things. So I had already kind of prayed. So I'm getting into my lesson. You got it. And then it's just how I am. I pray before I even like get going on my lesson that God will give me revelation, illumination, those kind of things, because He knows who's coming and I don't. You got it. And so so then I'm about to go to this chapter, and then I just stop, which I never do, because I'm already in the study, and I just pray, and I said, God, I can't do this without you. What do you mean? I can't do WLCC without you. Like, I can't grow the church without you. I can't make a difference without you. I can't lead the staff. I can't lead the leadership, and I can't lead the general membership and the dream team. Like, I really need you, and I started praying that way, and then I stopped praying, and then so I said, okay, well, I'll just go back to 2 Chronicles. It got on me, really. You know how sometimes it'll just get on you, like I need to just stop and pray. You got it. And so then I was going to 14, and then for some reason I just went up a little further, and so I went up to verse 11. It's just like the Spirit's like, just don't start right there. Give them a little bit more, explain the text and those kind of things. And I had no idea that God was really speaking to me just about WLCC because I had just prayed. It is amazing how you'll pray to God about something and He'll give you an answer just like that. You have to understand that God is not spooky, but He's sovereign. You got it? And if you will embrace the sovereignty of God and respect His ways, God can do amazing things in your life. So this is what He begins, man. And I tell you, I was really overwhelmed in my study. It says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace. And for me, I have just been like, okay, God, I thank you. Max's place is done. You told me to build that. You got it. Now we've got to make an impact. You understand? Like, because we just only do what God tells us to do. People are, somebody said, well, why didn't y'all build a gymnasium? Did you not have enough money? No, it had nothing to do with that. That's not what God told us to do. And around here, we don't do what's fashionable. We don't do what the latest thing is. We do what God tells us to do, because if you do it God's way, you'll get God results. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so I begin to pray about that. And then, I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is for me. So I go to verse 12. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. I said, man, that's WLCC. God has chose WLCC. WLCC is really making a difference. He says, hey, when I shut up the heavens that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and... But not only pray, do what? Pray first. That's right. You got it. Sorry. Pray first. All right. Remember, that's the title. So we're going to be saying pray first a lot. All right. So not only pray, but pray. He says, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered to me in WLCC. I have chosen and consecrated WLCC so that my name will be there forever. Son, after you are gone and all this stuff is paid off and our children and our grandchildren, if Jesus tarries is coming, our children and our grandchildren are carrying on with this ministry. You understand? His name is going to be here forever. And that's what I pray, Father, that your name rest here, that your presence rest here, that your glory rest here. You got it? I pray for impact moments, moments of impact, that God impacts people and He impacts you at different times. For somebody, it's your encounter that you had with the guys on the parking lot. Somebody else with the greeter. Somebody else in the children's ministry. Somebody else, you got it during worship. Somebody else, but that you'll have moments of impact that when you leave, that you'll know that your life was changed. You got it. I don't care if you're a member here and you've been coming here for 10 years. I believe that every time you leave, you're going to get something, that your life is going to be changed. I believe that God's going to give you a refreshing every time that you come. But watch this. It's only if you expect it.
Because what you expect, you will experience. So what happens is, God showed me, son, because I'm praying for this. He says, yeah, but you need to tell the people that it's not just all on me, it's all on them too. That they have to wake up. I did not know Pastor Pat was going to share that testimony today. But that's what it's all about. It's like having that childlike faith. I'm ready to go to church today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Like, I know last night might have been a long night. You got it. I might have tossed and turned. But God gave me a brand new day with brand new mercies. I'm going to pray first to him. You got it. And I'm excited about worship. I don't know what they're going to sing, because forget singing my favorite song. Whatever song they're going to sing, I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to do my dance, because I'm going to invite his presence into my heart. Does that make sense? All right. And so today I'm going to teach you a little bit about prayer. I'm getting a little excited, so I need to slow down. Today I'm going to teach you prayer, and then as we move forward, I'm going to show you how to work it into your life. And there's things that you need to understand when it comes to prayer. The first thing that you need is desire. Everybody say desire. Desire. These are not in my notes, stuff just the Holy Spirit gave me. And then, see, because my whole reason for teaching is that faith will come alive in your heart and that you'll get a desire. Like, I want to pray. But let me help you with something. Just because you have desire doesn't mean that you do it. There are times, I'm the pastor. There are times I woke up and I was like, man, I need to pray. It's like an hour went by and I ain't do nothing. Because it doesn't automatically happen. You got it? But the first thing that you do have to do is have a desire, knowing that this is what I know that I need to do. And then behind desire comes discipline. Everybody say discipline. You got it? So I have to have, watch this, not only desire, but I have to have discipline. So what happens is discipline has to follow my desire. And then anytime discipline follows my desire and I begin to pray, anybody that's in the room that knows prayer and understands it, when you start to pray and the presence of God starts to show up in your life, it moves from desire to discipline to delight. You got it? Because I'm delighted anytime that I'm in his presence, but it has to first start with desire. You got it? Everybody say desire, desire. Discipline, and delight. All right, so Luke the 11th chapter in the first verse, they'll put it up on the screen. Luke the 11th chapter in the first verse, it said one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. We're going to talk about that next week, all right, about certain place, so remember that. But one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, thank you. So now what you have to understand about this is theologians say the funny thing about this was these disciples grew up learning how to pray. They knew all kind of prayers. You got it? So it wasn't that they were saying, you know, we don't know how to pray. Can you teach us to pray? Theologians said that they had looked at the way Jesus prayed. You got it? And they were so impacted by the way he prayed. They're like, no, we know that we've been taught prayers, but we want to learn how to pray just like you did. Like, we want to do what you just did. Because something about what you did, it not only impacted you, but it impacted us. So now you see this story in Luke, the 11th chapter in the first verse, but you also see it in Matthew, the 6th chapter as well. And so I actually want to go through Matthew, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 13. And I want you to understand when it comes to the Lord's Prayer that Jesus was not just saying, okay, I want you to pray these words. As much as he was giving us a model for prayer and also an outline for prayer, okay? That's why he says, after this manner, okay? And so he says, after this manner. So you notice he didn't say, you got to pray these exact words. He says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen. All right. So really, Jesus was giving them an outline for prayer. He was giving them an outline for prayer. When you understand this model, there are 7 things in this model that he was really trying to show them, and I want to show you today. So today, this is just kind of like all the way basic, and then we're going to build into it. I'm going to take you from desire. It's going to be up to you to have the discipline, and if you follow through with the discipline, you're going to see delight.
Does that make sense? It is my prayer that from today forward, that if prayer is not joyful for you, it's going to be joyful. That if prayer used to be a struggle for you, that it's not going to be a struggle. That there's something in your heart that says, I have to pray. Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, when it jumps in your heart that says, I have to pray, you can't wait 30 minutes to do it. What happens is when it jumps in your heart, if you can, go ahead and begin to pray, and you're going to see God do some amazing things in your life. Amen? All right. So the first thing, we're going to break down this passage, this model, and there's seven things that he's going to outline. So the first thing that Jesus says is, our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. And so what Jesus is trying to get us to see in the first part of this, the outline that we receive from him is, number one, that we are to connect with God relationally. Everybody say, connect with God with relationally. So not formally, that God wants to spend time with you. He doesn't, you know, God is not some big God that's a million miles away, that is, you know, that doesn't know what's going on in your life and that's not concerned with your life. That is absolutely not the truth at all. The Bible says that he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And God is concerned about you. God is concerned about the things that concern you. God is concerned about the things that keep you up. God is concerned about the things that frustrate you. You understand what I'm saying? And so he wants you to connect with him relationally. He wants you to understand that, hey, I am your Father. Just like when your children get in trouble, you got it, and something is going on, they get hurt, they fall off the bike, who are they calling, mama or daddy? You understand? Why? Because they have a relationship. So what happens is, when anything happens, if anything goes wrong, you got it, then the first thing my kids are going to do, dad, mom, you got, and we go to running. Isn't that right? So he wants us to connect with him relationally, because he says, hey, I'm your Father. You got it. Romans 8 and 15 says, you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Father, or Abba Father. And so you've got to understand that God wants you to connect with him relationally. But hear me now. God just doesn't want you to talk to him when things are going bad. He wants you to talk to him all the time. That's why the writer says pray continually. You got it? That's why I say pray first. If you notice, I didn't say pray first when things are going bad. You got it? When you wake up in the morning, pray first. You got it? And so before you do anything, pray first. And so it's real important. You can have seven kids. You got it? And you know how our children are. As they get, isn't it funny how our kids, when they were small, they wanted to lay around with you. They wanted to try to get into bed with you. You got it? They always wanted to be around. And as they get older, that kind of goes away. Isn't that funny how that is? Yeah. Makes me daggone mad. I birthed you. You come see about me. You got it? You know, I mean, I have a teenage boy. Do you know how hard it is to have a conversation with a teenage boy? Hey, son, how was your day? It was good. Did you learn much? Yep. You got it. But no matter how many kids you have, and they all do it. Y'all know that, right? They all do. Even though my daughter is a little bit better, when she's happy, she's like, oh, Dad, I had a great day, and this happened. You're not going to believe it, and I love it. But as she's getting older, I'm noticing she's getting like my son. But no matter how many kids you have, but there's times and moments, you got it, because my son did it to me the other day. We're driving, and it really shocked me, because I pick him up, and I ask him a few questions. He goes through his, you know, little things, and then all of a sudden, I'm just driving, because I'm figuring, okay, I'm just going to let him do whatever he does. So he's like, so how was your day today? I'm like, excuse me? And I'm not saying, I see him looking, I'm not saying he's a bad person. Y'all understand what I'm saying? No, he's a great kid, but you know how kids, it's just not him. All kids are like that. You got it? But when one of your children comes to you and starts wanting to know how your day was, how you are doing, you got it? You know, you're like, oh, but what do you want? I will give you anything you want. Now, your other brothers and sisters, they can't have anything, but whatever you want, I am going to give that to you. That is how God is, that when we come to God, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to connect relationally with him. And when you come because he loves you, he says, because you want to spend time with me, I'll give you anything you want. All right, we got to keep going. We got to keep going because, oh, yes, we got to keep going. All right, let's go to the second part. He says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is just kind of a fancy word, but hallowed be thy name. Number two, he's saying worship his name. This is not just a phrase. This is something we need to do. You got it? Proverbs 18 and 10 says that the name of the Lord, the what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into it and they are what? Safe. So we find safety in his name. And so he's saying, Jesus is saying, you have to worship his name. Well, what are his names? I knew y'all were going to ask that. I got a screen just for you. So when I worship his name, he is my righteousness. He makes me clean. He is my sanctifier. He has called me and set me apart. He is my healer. He heals all my diseases. He's my banner of victory. He's defeated me from the enemy. He's my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. You got it? He speaks to me and he leads me. He's my shepherd and I shall not want. He's my peace in every storm. He's my provider and supplies all my needs. He is all, wait a minute, he's got a name up there, always present. Yes, he is Jehovah Shammah. He is a Lord God that is always present. That is why we say that I'm never alone. In your loneliest moment that you feel, you are never alone because he says, I'm always there. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am going to be with you till the end. If everybody walks off and changes their mind about you, don't worry because I'm still here. I will lead you. I'll guide you. I'll get you a new set of friends. My family walked away. I'll give you a new family. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to worship his name. Worship. Are y'all getting anything out of this? The next part in verse 3 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. And so what is he saying? Point number 3, he's saying pray his agenda first. I know you have some things and we're going to get to those, but pray his agenda first. What is on God's agenda? Do you know one of the top things on God's agenda? Others. That's why we say you're never closer to the will of God when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. You want to know why I live an incredible life? It's not because I was such a smart guy and had all these businesses and made all this money and all that's true in the natural, but that is not why. You understand? The reason I live an incredible life is because I've always wanted to be a blessing to other people. I've always wanted to see other people live a good life. I always wanted to help other people. When you take the focus off of you and start helping others, God has this amazing way of meeting all of your needs. Isn't that good? Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So I don't have to chase things. I chase God, and the things will grow up. What do y'all say, follow paper? Is that not right? What is it? Chasing paper. Well, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Trying to play me at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm fresh at 9 o'clock in the morning. Luke 12 and 31, Living Bible. I love this. Watch this. You probably never read this in the Living Bible. He will always, what? Always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's the bottom line. That we have to make the kingdom of God our primary concern. The next thing he says is give us this day our daily bread. What is he saying? Depend on him for everything. Depend on him for absolutely everything. And I'm here to tell you that I depend on God for everything. You got it? For everything, not only everything that I need, but everything I already have. So I don't say, well, I don't pray for God for provision because I already have it. No, the reason I have it is because I prayed for it, so I'm going to keep on praying for it. The reason I have peace is because I prayed for peace, so I'm going to keep on praying for peace. The reason I have joy is because I prayed for joy, so I'm going to keep on praying for joy. Psalms 121 says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. And he says that all of my help comes from the Lord. You got it? All of my help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. You got it? And so no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I depend on God for everything. I have been doing this as a senior pastor for 10 years, but every time I get up, I say, God, I can't do this without you. I need your anointing. I need your presence because I'm going to say some things, but you know everybody in the room. So Holy Spirit, I need you to communicate it to them that it'll meet their need based on whatever they're going through. So that way, when everybody walks out, even though it was only one lesson that I taught, it met the needs of everybody in the place. That's a good place to clap right there, isn't it? All right. Number 5, he says, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is so very important.
This is so critical in this outline. What is he saying? Get your heart right with God and people. Get your heart right with God and people. And man, this is like this right here, number five, this is me all day long. One of my favorite verses, they'll put it up on the screen, Psalms 139. This is one of my favorite, hands down, one of my favorite verses, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to do right. You understand? Like, I don't know about you, but like, I want to do right. Like, I want to live holy. That I'm not saying that I always hit the mark all the time, but I'm saying I want to do right. I want to love people. I'm not saying that I don't ever get frustrated with people, but I'm saying I like want to do the right. Anybody else say, I just really want to do the right thing? Even though sometimes I miss the mark, I really want to do the right thing. You got it. So, and that's why I love 1 John 1:9. Hey, man, if you do mess up, and you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Everybody say, pray first. So I got to pray first. I've got to pray first. All right. Number six. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Theologians say that when they translated this into English, they did a bad job because the Bible actually declares that God does not lead you into temptation. You got it. You got it. And so the writer, the theologians say that was, as you know, King James Version was like, you know, he was the one that they feel that did like the best job. Anyways, I don't get into all that. So anyways, but what they said was he felt that was the best way to translate it into English at that time. But really what the writer says is he says that when I'm going on the wrong path, lead me back to the right path. That's really what the writer is saying, because God does not lead you into temptation. You got it? All right? And so he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is he saying? Number six, engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 and 12. In other words, quit fighting your family. Quit fighting your boss. You know, quit fighting your neighbors. Quit fighting, you know, the girl at food line that you think is ripping you off. You understand? Quit fighting all these people. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces and evil in the heavenly realm. And so, listen, I'm not fighting against somebody. You know, somebody comes by you and they have road rage, you know, and they're right behind you. You didn't even realize you over in the left-hand lane, but you're driving slow. You're supposed to drive slow in the right-hand lane, but you weren't thinking, you know, anybody ever dazed off and, you know, next thing you know, you're in the left-hand lane and you're not quite going as fast as everybody else. My wife reminds me of that all the time. Babe, you need to get over in the right-hand lane. You got it? Because I'm not a speeder. I do not believe in tickets. You understand what I'm saying? And so, anyways, won't go any further about that. So anyways, praise the Lord, that person comes behind you and they're riding you. You look up, you're like, man, why that guy on me? You didn't realize, you know, you were going to speed limit, but it said 55, you're going 55. But see, so he's riding up on you blowing the horn because he doesn't want to obey the law and go 55. He wants to break the law and speed. Because I'm going 55 and 55 is the speed limit. Left or right lane, praise the Lord. And you blowing, and so now you're blowing at me, and I'm trying to correct myself. You got it. And then they're blowing the horn, and when they come by you, they give you the finger, but that's not the finger that they give you. You understand? And now there's two words. When they go by and give you the finger, what do I have to do? I have to pray first. And I only have a split second to pray first, because I'm telling you, I am that guy that if you try to challenge me, I'm going to catch up to you. Like, you want to get out the car? You got something to say to me? Now, thank God, as I've gotten older, I have gotten way better. Ask my wife. I don't do that kind of stuff no more. But my whole thing is, if you're going, like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was a Marine. You understand? There's 21 ways to kill a man. You understand? I know that's not right, but I'm just telling you. You know what I'm saying? You know, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You know, all my military now know what I'm talking about. And some of y'all are not military. Y'all are crazy. I know they made us that way. But when we go abroad, hello somebody, and beat the enemy's tail, you glad for the freedom you got over here, because we was crazy. Shout out to all my military. Yeah. You need some crazy people. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by. And that is why it doesn't matter how you pray. You have some people, when they go to pray, they say, Father, I need you to do it. But then you have some people say, I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God, because you need some people on the front line that are going to tell the devil no. And so the people that pray exuberantly like that, they don't knock the people that don't pray exuberantly. But the people that don't pray exuberantly don't knock, no, because it's all, everybody has their part. Does that make sense? All right, we got to get out of here. Oh, man, we got to go. Y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, number 7, I'm done. We got to close it out. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, and the church said. Amen. Number 7, what he was saying, express faith in God's ability. Express faith in God's ability. Jeremiah 32 and 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for God. In other words, God says, when you come to me and you pray, you can give me everything. Give me the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there's nothing too hard for me. This is what he's saying. Nothing that you just said made me nervous. No, I'm serious. No, let me break it down for you. Let me help you with what I mean by that. Sometimes people come to us for help. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about all of us. You know, somebody comes to you and they're going through a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, like a lot. And you're like, oh, man, you're trying to, you know, because, you know, they're your friend or your family, you love them, but it can be a lot. And you don't really know what to say. You want to say, you know, so I was talking to my son the other day. He was telling me like an issue that was going on. You got it? And I was like, I was praying, Lord, help me to help him. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times some people will come to you and it'll just be a lot. And it's not that you don't want to help them, but you don't exactly know how to help them. You know to encourage them. You know to pray for them. You got it? But God says, man, nothing you says make me nervous. I don't care what you said. Because like, especially if you have that one person in your life that you can really be honest with, you can tell them everything, like everything. You got it. You really find out who your friends are if you try to tell somebody everything. I don't suggest you just go around telling people everything. You got it? But he says, nothing makes me nervous. One of the biggest reasons that people don't pray is because they feel they don't have time. You will only have time when you make it your priority. And so let me give you two words of advice. Slow down. Slow down. If you don't have time to pray, your priorities are off. If you don't have time to come to church, your priorities are off. If you don't have time to spend with your family, your priorities are off. And so as we move into this next year, we're going to talk about a lot of things about how we give God our first. But the first thing we got to do is we got to make sure that we connect with God and that we pray first. And that sets the tone for everything else in my life. So before I shoot that text, pray first. Before I post anything on social media, pray first. Before I go into that interview, pray first. Before I talk to my boss, pray first. Before I respond to that person that's going off on me, no matter what I do, I'm going to invite God into every area of my life. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the word. Know it was good to see.